If you've ever had that feeling, that nagging sense that behind every, you know, every whimsical story or a famous public figure, there's a dark, classified history just waiting to be uncovered.
Well, you are exactly right. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Today is. It's a bit of an unusual one.
It is. Today, we're not just peeling back a few layers. We're breaking the seal on government documents, on coded indices, to explore a single really terrifying theme.
Yeah.
How the pursuit of forbidden power, you know, the chemical shortcut, the technological cheat, it always seems to lead to the same places.
Always. Institutional control, dependency, violence, and then, ultimately,
absolute erasure. The mission today is, I'll admit, highly ambitious. We're connecting two vastly different kinds of sources.
Yeah.
On one side, we have this concrete historical tragedy, a chilling account of a classified U.S. Navy endurance experiment from the early 1930s.
An experiment we believe gave rise to the myth of a certain very strong, spinach-loving sailor.
Exactly. And on the other side, we have the thematic skeleton key, really, for understanding that tragedy. It's called the Inspector Story Index. And you need to understand, this is not a history book. It's a highly cryptic meta-archive. It maps well-known fictional characters, I mean, the ones you recognize instantly, onto these deeply unsettling, often erased real-life case files. It's like it creates a modern mythology.
Right.
It reveals the secret rules and the systems that govern covert knowledge.
So our mission is to take that historical narrative anchor, this real person who is chemically enhanced and then just deleted, and run it through the thematic lens of the index. We want to know what this combined material reveals about institutional control and why finding a shortcut to power or knowledge always seems to come with this catastrophic cost clause written in the fine print.
Right. And we'll specifically analyze how the Navy's pursuit of enhanced, tireless human performance back in the 30s, this story of a seaman Frank Callahan, how it mirrors the systematic mechanisms detailed in the index. The index talks about seeking forbidden tech or trying to find the ultimate boss fight. Mm. We're examining the precise failure mode of control. What happens when the human subject gains too much, too fast, and forces the system to delete the anomaly?
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with the true and frankly horrifying story behind a character who, for decades, has been synonymous with goofy resilience, Popeye the Sailor Man. So we begin in a very specific, very tense historical moment, 1931. We're not in some theoretical lab somewhere. We are firmly rooted at the Norfolk Naval Station in Virginia.
And you have to put yourself in that time. This was the Great Depression. Global tensions were starting to simmer. Military minds everywhere were obsessed with optimizing every single part of the war machine.
Including the human factor.
Especially the human factor.
Right.
It's vital to understand the context of the early 1930s. The military was dealing with these chronic nagging problems related to long sea deployments.
Yeah.
Fatigue, low morale, human error under incredible stress. They weren't just looking for a vitamin supplement.
No, not at all. They were looking for an override.
An override. That's the word. They wanted to chemically engineer absolute human endurance.
Exactly. This wasn't about standard nutrition. This was a classified U.S. Navy endurance experiment. The specific focus was on sailors assigned to extended, grueling sea labor. I'm talking about the men who operated the boilers, shoveled coal for hours, or performed constant backbreaking repairs. The program's sole stated goal was testing these fortified rations.
Fortified is such a benign word for it.
It is. Rations designed to achieve one specific radical outcome, to chemically override fatigue and pain. They were trying to manufacture the perfect tireless worker.
And the fact this was classified, I mean, that's your first major red flag, right?
Of course.
It signals that the research moved beyond any acceptable medical parameters. It was in the realm of human performance enhancement via potentially dangerous, totally unproven means. The Navy was seeking a means of control over human weakness itself. They saw fatigue and pain not as protective mechanisms, which they are, but as defects to be chemically eliminated.
And the man at the center of this grim historical footnote, the man whose existence was briefly enhanced, then corrupted, and finally just erased, was a guy named Seaman Frank Callahan. When you look at the internal reports, it's fascinating. The language shifts almost immediately from, you know, clinical observation to something perching awe, and then very rapidly to alarm. Mm. The reports detail Callahan's abnormal, immediate, and profound results after he started consuming these experimental rations. The dramatic gain wasn't over weeks. It was instantaneous and wildly outside the statistical norm.
We're talking about an extreme increase in functional strength, far beyond what was physically possible through standard training or diet over that kind of period. He was suddenly able to sustain continuous hours-long labor without showing any signs of exertion.
Not just tired, no exertion at all.
Right. This wasn't just resilience. This was manufactured, chemically induced stamina that just defied human biology.
And the terrifying part, for me at least, is highlighted in the source material through two critical observations. First, yes, the incredible physical output. But second, and this is what was fundamentally more frightening for the medical officers, was the fact that Callahan began to actively ignore injuries.
And that's the smoking gun?
That's it. A torn muscle, a deep cut, the natural searing pain that forces a body to stop, he just powered right through it.
That detail is the proof showing that this was far more than just fortified food. The rations were clearly acting as a profound, system-wide nervous system override. Pain is the body's ultimate warning sign. It protects the organism from self-destruction.
From literally tearing itself apart.
Exactly. By chemically suppressing those essential warnings and limits, the Navy created a highly efficient, but fundamentally suicidal worker. The efficiency came at the direct cost of the subject's own protective instincts.
And this is where I start to question the Navy's naivety. I mean, did they really not see this coming? They successfully created a machine of efficiency, but did they truly believe that overriding the physical limits wouldn't carry an immediate correlated psychological cost?
I think you could argue it's less about naivety and more about tunnel vision.
Okay.
Their mandate was pure performance. Psychological stability was secondary, maybe even seen as irrelevant to output. Until it became violent. They optimized the muscle, but they completely destabilized the mind.
And here's where the experiment takes that oh no turn. You can just feel the panic rising in the clinical notes. The shift happens from just a stronger sailor to a chemically altered, violently unstable human being.
The celebration of the physical gains stops.
It stops cold. The medical officer's notes start recording violent mood swings, extreme irritability, and soon a complete and total loss of emotional control. This enhanced physical performance was intrinsically fatally linked to psychological instability.
And the transition confirms a principle we're going to see over and over in the index. You cannot shortcut one system without destabilizing the whole matrix. If you chemically override the body's physical self-regulation fatigue, pain, you inevitably place this intolerable stress on the psychological and emotional regulatory systems. The stimulus was just too intense and too rapid for the human consciousness to integrate.
So the crash was inevitable, and when it came, it was immediate and total.
Mm.
When the classified rations were withheld, and it's not clear if this was by protocol or maybe due to a supply failure, Callahan's body immediately failed. We see a complete reversal. The man of tireless endurance suddenly collapsed.
His whole system just gives out.
Completely. His muscles failed. He became desperate, disoriented, and driven by this visceral chemical need. The dependency wasn't subtle. It was immediate and devastating. It acted just like a synthetic withdrawal from a hard drug.
Which is when the institution suddenly realizes their problem.
Yeah.
They didn't just have a dependent subject. They had a highly volatile, highly motivated subject with manufactured superhuman strength who is now in agonizing withdrawal. His desperation became the institution's greatest threat.
And this desperation, it didn't stay internal for long. It quickly escalated into the violent manifestations that really stand out in the reports from early 1932. Callahan started actively stealing supplies.
He's hunting for it.
He's hunting. The reports describe him breaking into storage lockers, driven by this consuming chemical need. And then we have the physical evidence, the terrifying unnatural strength unleashed in an act of pure rage.
This is the part of the story that it just gives you chills.
It does. Witnesses reported him crushing thick metal containers, likely supply cans or small storage lockers, by hand during a night drill.
By hand.
By hand.
Let's just pause on that detail for a second, because that is the defining image of the failure. Crushing metal containers by hand demonstrates a force that is exponentially greater than standard human capacity. It signals that the power they had injected into him was now fully operational outside of their control.
And directed against them.
And directed against the infrastructure of the institution that created him.
This was the moment the system broke. The experiment didn't end in a controlled shutdown. It ended in a violent climax. He attacked another sailor after being denied access to the ration stock. And the reports specify, they make a point of this, that it took multiple men to restrain him.
Some of the ancillary notes I saw said more than half a dozen.
More than half a dozen men to restrain one sailor. Callahan, the perfect worker, had become the system's worst enemy.
So after the chaos comes the science. The scientific revelation following the incident was, you know, required to justify the immediate shutdown.
Right, the postmortem.
Exactly. Laboratory analysis definitively revealed the formula's mechanism of harm. The rations contained concentrated iron compounds, which, okay, in large unregulated doses, could artificially boost oxygen transport and muscle efficiency. That contributes to the perceived strength. But crucially, these were combined with unregulated stimulants.
And that's the distinction, isn't it? The concentrated iron and the unregulated stimulants. That's the technical core of the tragedy. It wasn't just a physical boost. It was a neurochemical high combined with a physiological turbocharge.
The mechanism of harm was clear. This potent, crude combination severely overstressed every major system. The muscle tissue, the cardiovascular system, and critically, the central nervous system. The Navy had deliberately manufactured dependency and violence in the pursuit of efficiency.
It's just staggering.
And you have to remember, this is 1930s technology. The term unregulated means they were essentially flying blind. They were using brute force chemistry to achieve an outcome, and they got it. They created a temporary, powerful physical ability, but they did so by setting the subject up for a guaranteed rapid breakdown.
So the program was shut out immediately, but the focus shifted instantly to damage control.
To containment.
To erasure.
Yes. The ultimate control mechanism is erasure. And that is exactly what happened to Seaman Frank Callahan. He was discharged under sealed medical orders. Sealed. That act of sealing his records ensures the incident will never appear in official, accessible Navy history. It locks his tragedy away forever.
And following the discharge, he was reassigned to a civilian cargo ship. A quiet, bureaucratic way to remove a volatile asset from the Navy's immediate environment.
It was probably a form of monitored exile. Or maybe just dumping the problem onto the civilian sector. Get them off their books.
And the conclusion is so abrupt and so chilling. The narrative doesn't follow him for decades. It just stops. 6 months after his reassignment, the civilian ship returned to port, but Callahan did not. He was gone.
Vanished.
And the internal report, which is the only record of this terrifying experiment, ends with a single, definitive, and just terrifying sentence that encapsulates the entire systematic failure.
This is one of the most chilling lines I've ever read in a document like this.
The single sentence that summarizes his entire fate. The subject became dependent, and dependency made him dangerous.
What's fascinating, in a really dark way, is the clinical precision of the Navy's erasure. They create a dangerous dependency and then immediately scrub the history. They didn't just lose a sailor. They lost control over a weapon they had created. And that forced them to treat him as a data anomaly that the system could not tolerate.
A bug in the code.
Exactly. And the disappearance suggests the ultimate form of control, a vacuum where a person used to be.
And this raises a serious question that we absolutely have to carry into the next section. If the system cannot tolerate the power it creates, how do we find the evidence of that power once the system has deliberately attempted to erase it? So the story of Seaman Callahan, the pursuit of power, the dependency, the institutional erasure, that's our fixed point. That's our anchor in reality. Mm. Now, we use the Inspector Story Index to give that fixed point meaning. We have to transition from the specific, concrete, historical erasure of one man to the documented, coded systems of erasure of identity and time that are found all through the index.
Right. And you have to think of the index as a kind of counter-archive. It operates on this principle that the most dangerous or anomalous real-life events are never recorded truthfully. They're often disguised, they're institutionalized, or they're retold as fictional narratives.
The ciphers.
They're ciphers that hide the raw truth. By using these fictional names you recognize, like Wendy or Klaus or Luke Skywalker, the index provides a thematic framework for analyzing deep systemic trauma.
Okay, so let's look at the first entry that speaks directly to how this institutional erasure functions. Mm-hmm. It's the case file. Real Wendy, the Peter Pan analog. The index notes this isn't a literary reference. This is an asylum file concerning a child who, clinically, shows physical and biological signs of never aging.
Wow. The thematic resonance here is just, it's profound. You have erasure, you have arrested time, and you have the transition of potent folklore into a cold, hard medical context. The system records the anomaly, this biological impossibility, but it suppresses the identity and the temporal reality of the subject.
The person is permanently paused by the system, and the callback analysis for this file, the core insight, is deeply relevant to Callahan. As in real Wendy, records can freeze while lives keep moving.
That's powerful.
It connects immediately back to our Navy sailor. Callahan's dependency made him dangerous, right? So his records were sealed. His professional existence in the Navy was definitively frozen in 1932, the moment of his violent failure.
Right.
And even though his physical life continued on that civilian cargo ship for 6 more months, his identity, in the Navy's view, was erased and paused at the point of operational failure. The official record just refuses to move forward with the messy, dangerous reality of the living person.
And that's the utility of arrested time as a control mechanism. It's so efficient. If the system can freeze your documentation, it freezes your institutional influence. It stops your story from evolving into something disruptive.
It contains the narrative.
Exactly. And the attempt to completely scrub a dangerous history, like the Callahan experiment, it often leaves behind a more potent form of evidence than a detailed, honest report would. The deliberate absence, the sealed file, the frozen record, that is the proof that something exceptional and dangerous occurred.
We see this principle, this idea of deletion as evidence, reinforced so powerfully by the case file, Klaus Richter, which is linked to Der Schatten. This entry describes a soldier who was systematically erased, a ghost associated with the highly sensitive S-87 bunker project.
So we're moving into a military context here.
A direct military context. The themes here are operational and, frankly, military grade. Dilution, war myth, and black ops. This is erasure applied to a clear operational failure or someone becoming an ideological liability.
Which is a perfect mirror for the Navy's handling of Callahan.
It is. He became an uncontrollable liability that threatened to expose a classified program.
And the callback for Richter nails the conclusion. Like Klaus Richter, erasure becomes the evidence.
So, if you, our listener, were looking for the record of Frank Callahan after his discharge, the sealed orders, and that cryptic final sentence, that is the evidence of the terrifying experiment. The vacuum where the full truth should be tells the story of institutional control more clearly than any technical report ever could.
Precisely. Institutions prefer a clean vacuum over a messy history. When something goes catastrophically wrong, like a sailor exhibiting superhuman strength and attacking his peers, the institution's primary objective shifts immediately from scientific inquiry to, you know, brand protection and damage control.
Self-preservation.
It's all self-preservation. Deletion isn't merely hiding a fact. It's protecting the reputation and the structural integrity of the system itself.
But erasure doesn't just apply to people. It applies to the dangerous knowledge itself, doesn't it? The index then moves into artifacts and the erasure surrounding something powerful. Look at the case file. Luke Skywalker, or as the index calls him, Luang Sayamong. This is described not as a space opera, but as an orphan who's associated with a humming, technologically forbidden blade who ultimately vanishes from all records.
So the themes are shifting slightly. We have forbidden tech, prophecy, and yet again, erasure. The focus is no longer just on the person being deleted, but on the exceptional object they possessed.
The blade.
The humming blade. The forbidden tech. That's the true point of institutional interest. The person is disposable. The technology is proprietary.
And the callback analysis for this one confirms it. As with Luke Skywalker, Luang, the weapon is a witness.
Wow.
So if you apply this back to Callahan, the man vanished, right? But the artifact that remains is the classified formula for the ration.
The recipe.
The recipe. The eyewitness accounts of the crushed metal, the sealed orders, and the formula itself, the chemical weapon, those are the true witnesses to the Navy's transgression and the potential for power they unlocked. The artifact outlives the maker and the user.
The index provides the critical insight here. Erasure isn't just about silencing people. It's about controlling the narrative around the exceptional object or incident. Callahan was an infinite. He was a volatile chemical reaction the Navy created.
Hmm.
And once that reaction became uncontrollable, the system ensured the man was gone, but the knowledge, the formula for concentrated iron and unregulated stimulants, that was locked away. The weapon, the potential for power, remains institutional property, ready to be deployed again under stricter and potentially more ruthless control.
We've established the historical consequences, the violence and the erasure. Now, we have to examine the mechanism of control itself. I mean, the Navy experiment was a system. It was designed for maximum human performance.
Right.
And the Inspector Story Index is just replete with examples of these covert systems designed for obedience and control, often hiding in plain sight behind cheerful or mundane fronts.
And any effective system of control, whether it's chemical or institutional, it establishes a set of rules. Some are stated, most are unstated, that govern behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And they lead the participant toward an outcome that benefits the system.
And usually at a devastating cost to the individual.
Always. We need to debate the precise cost mechanisms here.
Okay, so the perfect analogy for this systemic debt is the case file, Monopoly, or the collector. The index entry focuses not on the fun, you know, cheerful board game, but on a documented basement activity, a dark, real-world version of the game that aggressively trains participants in debt and eviction.
That's unsettling. The themes are crucial to understanding institutional dependency, obedience, systems, and the false game. Mm. You, the player, you think you're engaged in a simple game of acquisition and success.
Right, you're just playing a game.
But the deeper hidden function is to make you internalize a system designed to create winners at the absolute catastrophic expense of everyone else. It normalizes debt, leveraged acquisition, and eviction.
And the callback is crystal clear. From Monopoly, the game trains you before it pays you.
Wow. Let's apply this directly to Callahan. He was enrolled in a chemical system where the immediate payoff was peak performance and superhuman strength. He was trained to ignore his body's limits, pain, fatigue, hunger. But the real training was the rapid, crippling dependency and debt to the stimulants.
So the power was just the bait.
It was the bait. The moment he couldn't pay that debt by consuming the rations, the system broke him. It demanded payment, and then it erased him.
But wait. Doesn't that imply the violence was an acceptable, maybe even a predictable casualty? If the Navy's goal was pure, relentless output, especially in the face of conflict, perhaps the violence was simply an unfortunate but anticipated failure mode.
That's a dark thought.
Well, the training wasn't just physical, it was behavioral. The lesson was, you will obey the formula. When Callahan stopped obeying the formula, the system didn't try to treat him. It tried to contain the dangerous asset. The debt he couldn't deliver was self-control, and the payment was his disappearance. That distinction is key. The rations were the powerful, immediate payoff meant to incentivize total compliance with the program. But the true lesson, the successful training, was the immediate total biological dependency that resulted.
Mm-hmm.
The system ensured that if Callahan stopped playing by their rules, his own body would turn against him with devastating withdrawal. That is the ultimate systemic control. Weaponizing the player's own biology against them.
And this idea of systematic control hiding in plain sight, this pervasive system operating under a facade of innocence,
yeah,
is amplified by the case file. Disney World Controlled Zone. The file references a location defined by strict private rules, a 199-foot architectural anomaly tower, and hidden protocols operating within a space that is outwardly presented as pure fantasy and fun.
The themes here are governance, loopholes, and simulation. The index argues that Disney World isn't merely a vacation spot. It's a zone where private corporate rules supersede public law. It's a microcosm of covert governance, where the fantasy is the ultimate distraction from the reality of comprehensive control.
So we connect the hidden protocols directly to the classified nature of the Navy rations and the sealed orders.
Exactly.
The most effective systems of control operate just outside of normal public or legal view. The sailors were operating under a hidden protocol ingesting unregulated, dangerous stimulants that gave the system maximum control over their output. The classification provided the Navy with maximum plausible deniability the moment Callahan failed.
The 199-foot tower is the visible sign that something is being kept just shy of requiring federal oversight. The classified status of the rations is the equivalent legal maneuver.
So the classification, the sealed orders, are the Navy's equivalent of the hidden protocols in that control zone.
Yes, that's exactly it. They ensure that what looks like a genuine, unfortunate tragedy, you know, a sailor experiencing a psychotic break, is actually a controlled systemic failure, governed by rules the public will never see and which must be contained internally.
And finally, these systems always bait the participant with the promise of success, a promise that turns out to be lethal. Look at the case file, Aladdin or Adil al-Din. This index entry describes a case involving a massive legger, not a lamp, that allowed the user to temporarily heist corporate or syndicate power.
Oh.
Leading ultimately to the user becoming a designated scapegoat when the real power is reclaimed control.
The themes are chilling. False fronts, syndicates, and bait. The promise of the ledger, or the powerful magic object, is merely the initial mechanism to draw the unwitting, ambitious player into a far more complex and dangerous game run by much higher unseen powers.
And the callback analysis summarizes the dynamic perfectly.
Yeah.
As Aladdin showed, the treasure is usually a trap.
That's it. The classified Navy rations, which offered the treasure of peak endurance and superhuman strength, were the absolute shortcut for Seaman Callahan. He was given a power he could never have achieved through natural means.
He found the lamp.
He found the lamp. But the resulting dependency, violence, and ultimate disappearance were the trap that led to his destruction and erasure. The treasure promised glory. The trap delivered debt and disappearance. He became the designated scapegoat. The official report blames the subject because dependency made him dangerous, thereby insulating the system that created the dangerous dependency in the first place.
Yeah.
So we have the historical facts. We have the systemic analysis from the index. Now we have to focus on the most resonant human element here, which is the personal cost. What do these entries tell us about the psychological and physical transformation that results from the pursuit of this kind of extraordinary power or experience?
Right.
How does chasing that chemical shortcut fundamentally alter the person doing the chasing?
Well, the quest for forbidden power, whether it's a classified ration or advanced tech, it inherently transforms the seeker. The fatal error is always the same. They are so fixated on the external goal, the peak performance, the forbidden output, that they entirely miss the internal corruption or dependency taking root.
They don't see the trap.
They don't see the trap until they are fully caught inside it.
Let's examine the element of devotion then, and the persistence of the dangerous artifact versus the fate of the human who used it. This is reflected in the case file, Buzz Lightyear or Russell Kearney. This index entry describes a documented incident involving a man obsessed with DIY hyperflight tech, a dangerous self-made launch system.
Oh boy.
Culminating in the desperate final cry to infinity.
The themes here are devotion, DIY tech, and desert myth. This speaks to the almost religious fervor that people apply to self-made, often reckless technology. The individual completely sacrifices themselves, their health, their sanity for the creation because they believe in the power the artifact promises. They become a martyr to the tech.
And the callback analysis drives home the brutal institutional truth. Echoing Buzz Lightyear, artifacts outlive their makers.
That is just perfect.
It is the perfect summation of Callahan's story. The classified ration formula, the artifact, it survived him, his devotion to the feeling of the rations, the chemical high, the raw, unnatural strength, led to his utter destruction and subsequent disappearance.
He got hooked on the power.
He became so devoted to the power the artifact provided that he ceased to be an independent entity. When he vanished, the only thing that remained was the formula, locked away in a Navy vault, ready to be studied or used again on the next subject. The system keeps the powerful tech and discards the faulty user, whether that user is a naval sailor or a DIY aerospace enthusiast.
And so the institution's lesson wasn't stop making dangerous stimulants. It was, how do we deploy the knowledge of concentrated iron and unregulated stimulants under tighter controls next time?
That's a chilling thought.
Callahan was a failure only in that he became volatile. The true success for the Navy was the discovery that this level of performance was possible, even if it was transient. The knowledge remains, the subject is gone. The artifact is the true legacy.
And finally, we have the ultimate expression of the seeker's transformation, which so often results in this state of self-contained delusion. It's the case file, real-life Mario or Marco Bellini. This recounts a descent into deep urban infrastructure, a sewer descent, concluding with the, quote, I found the boss fight.
Oh, wow.
The themes are terrifyingly relatable to any secret quest. Delusion, urban myth, and the ominous detail of spores, suggesting a toxic, mind-altering environment. This is the descent into a perceived reality where the world has become a video game, but the environment itself is chemically or biologically corrupting the player.
And the analysis for this one perfectly sums up Callahan's entire trajectory of internal corruption. Like Mario, chasing the castle changes the player first.
It's the definitive lens for viewing the Callahan incident, isn't it? He was chasing an almost mythic, unattainable endurance, a castle of human performance aided by the Navy's chemical power-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But the true effect wasn't external glory. It was the internal corruption and dependency that transformed him into something violent and dangerous.
We need to pause and explore the depth of this transformation. He wasn't just performing better. He was experiencing reality differently. The unregulated stimulants were the spores. They were the toxic element that altered his psychological and physical structure. It warped his reality until he was violently battling his own shipmates in a delusional quest for more of the chemical compound.
Right.
The quest for superhuman strength didn't make him a hero. It made him a monster dependent on a chemical fix.
And it raises the broader critical implication for you, the listener. When you take a shortcut to forbidden power, you are not simply acquiring a tool. You are entering a new, chemically or technologically defined reality. And in that new reality, the protective rules of the old world limits like pain, fatigue, and emotional control, they no longer apply.
And that loss of internal regulation leads inevitably to isolation and self-destruction, forcing the system to step in and apply the final control.
So this has been a deep dive into how classified history can inform modern mythology and vice versa. We started with the terrifying clinical reality of Seaman Frank Callahan, a 1930s Navy experiment that created chemically induced superhuman strength.
Followed by uncontrollable violence and institutional erasure.
And we used the Inspector Story Index to give thematic weight and structure to this history. From Real Wendy's arrested time and Klaus Richter's deletion as evidence of systemic failure.
To Monopoly's systematic debt cycle and the Aladdin analog that showed the treasure is always, always a trap.
So if you are looking for the key takeaway from this synthesis, I think it's this. The drive for accelerated enhanced performance, whether pursued through classified Navy rations or through seeking the forbidden tech reference in the index, it always contains a hidden non-negotiable cost.
Always.
And this cost manifests as a debt, a clause in the contract that results not in glory, but in dependency, psychological corruption, and ultimate erasure by the controlling system.
And knowledge is most valuable when you understand it and can apply it. These sources, when you put them together, they show us that the greatest dangers often come not from the sheer power itself, but from the systemic secrets and the sealed orders that govern how that power is distributed and retrieved.
Mm.
The Navy created a devastating dependency and then instantly wiped the historical slate clean. Critical thinking is essential to spot the difference between the treasure, the raw, temporary power, and the trap, the resulting biological debt and destruction in any pursuit of accelerated strength or secret knowledge.
And that leads to one final thought. The Callahan report suggests that dependency made him dangerous. But given the sealed medical orders, the immediate containment, and the final definitive disappearance, what if the Navy's greatest, deepest fear wasn't the violent sailor who needed a fix? What if it was the sheer, raw, uncontrolled power that those rations unlocked?
What if the dependence was secondary?
Exactly. What if the dependence was secondary and the uncontrolled, limitless strength was the real existential threat to the institution's hierarchical order, something for you to mull or explore on your own?